I guess not. Oh, well, okay, that's the way it goes. So people can't hear the first part of that homily if they want. Anyway, so the blind man, he takes him away from the village. And again, using these very kind of graphic gestures, putting spittle on his eyes, he heals him. But not all at once. This is a rather unique case. We have many, many stories of Jesus doing instant miraculous healings. This is the only one that is two-part healing. And it's only found in the Gospel of Mark. Now, sometimes people try to figure out why it's in Mark and not in the other Gospels, especially since the prevailing theory is that Mark was the first Gospel to be written and that the other Gospels were based on Mark, at least Matthew and Luke. So if that were true, if it is true, then Matthew and Luke decided not to put this story in their Gospel. And some of the scholars say it's because it makes Jesus look bad. It makes it look as if he can't do an instant healing. Well, I think that's a very silly theory, because Jesus has no concern about looking bad. He died on a cross. He took on the appearance of absolute failure. So that can't be the reason why Matthew and Luke didn't put this story in their Gospel. Anyway, we're pondering this one, and it's true that the first attempt results in the man seeing trees, or people that look like walking trees, and so Jesus lays his hands on him again, and he can see perfectly. Now, there are different ways to interpret this two-stage healing. One is to recognize in it that God does sometimes work in a progressive rather than an immediate way. In fact, that's the more common thing in our experience, that God gradually unfolds his work, more like a plant growing than an instant miraculous appearance. So for all the miraculous healings that Jesus does, this particular healing seems to correspond more to our own experience of being healed. We get sick, we go to the doctor, we get a prescription, we have some tests done, and over the course of a week or a couple of weeks or a month, or a surgery, we get healed. So it doesn't happen that we get sick, we call on the Lord, and then we're healed. So that's one level of interpretation, the way that God works in our own experience, in time, over the course of time. Not only in our physical growth, but in our spiritual growth as well. We might pray to the Lord, Lord, give me faith, Lord, give me perseverance, help me to love, and it takes time for that seed to grow in us. The experience of conversion is not always like Paul on the road to Damascus, a sudden flash of light. Very often it's, well, I can see what look like people, but kind of like trees. That's a description of our spiritual perception. Okay, that's one level. Now, we can also take this as a description of the different ways in which we see, and the different levels on which our spiritual seeing has to be healed. The first thing is to be able to see at all. Now, it seems that in this cure, Jesus did cure the man's eyes immediately, because he couldn't see, and then he could see. So that means he had the physical healing. What he lacked was the interpretation of what he was seeing, the inner dimension of seeing. So anyone who has working eyes can see, but that doesn't mean that we can understand what we're seeing. That's an inner level, and that's what the man lacks when he's in the, after the first time, he sees people, and he knows that they're people, and he thinks that they look like trees walking. Well, that's not a defect in his eyes, but in his understanding. I think this is a very good description of what often happens. People see people. I mean, everyone knows what a person is, but we treat people like objects. And this is one of the sad, I don't know what sad fruits of technology, that people can objectify one another. It's just as a means to get what I want. I can get more likes, or I can use this person to get to make money or to get pleasure. The objectification of persons is one of the terrible dynamics that we face now. Yes, we have a much greater understanding in theory of human dignity and human rights, but at the same time, we seem to be breaking down the respect that we have for one another because of this ability to just treat people as objects. People are not trees, and they can't be used. Also, this distinction between people and trees can help us reflect on our relationships. It's related to this objectification issue. How we relate to people has a lot to do with how we see them. If we see people as objects, that's a huge problem. If we see them as problems to eliminate, huge problem. But if we see them as enemies, well, that's a different kind of problem. We're not rejecting that they're persons, we just hate them. Well, that's our problem. We're not seeing their dignity as children of God. You probably know that the tensions that are boiling over at the Russia-Ukraine border have a lot to do with how the Russians and the Ukrainians see each other. They see each other as threats, enemies, opponents. And that's wars come up because people forget or don't see that we are all one family of God. And that's why peace breaks down so easily, not only on the international borders, but in marriages and families, and every friendship can turn sour when we no longer see others as God sees them. Jesus, after helping the man get an inner healing, meaning he can perceive that people are really people, gives the man a last bit of advice: do not even go into the village. I said at the beginning, we live in a global village, where are we supposed to go? It's not perhaps taken only to be taken literally, don't go into that particular village for whatever reason. Certainly there was probably a good practical reason not to go to that village, but we can take it in a spiritual sense. Don't throw yourself into the world. Don't subject yourself to the demands of the world, especially if you want to be a hearer and a doer of the word, because the world is where the word gets smothered or choked or trampled. That's the village. So don't go there. Carry the word in the heart and let it shine light on your understanding so that you can be follower, a disciple of Jesus Christ in the world, but not to become of the world. You know, we pray in honor of every single day, open the eyes of our hearts with your faith. That's what we pray before the Mass. Open the eye, which is talking to Mary, open the eyes of our hearts with your faith. Well, this opening of the eyes of our hearts is not our physical eyes, but this inner perception of what God is doing, the mysteries of creation, redemption, and sanctification, which we can't see with our physical eyes anyway, but with our hearts we can see, and then we can do. Okay, let's go back to what James says. He says, don't only be hearers, but be doers. To be doers of this word, this gospel, is first of all to allow Jesus to heal our sight. Jesus has to be the first doer. We can't go running off acting as if we can see. We have to be given sight. Physical sight, yes, most of us can see fairly well. Spiritual sight, that we have to let Jesus touch us again. That's what we do when we pray, when we ponder. We let Jesus touch the eyes of our hearts, open the eyes of our hearts, so that we can see the mysteries of creation, redemption, and sanctification. And then when we see, then we can do. Life looks a lot different when we're praying. You probably have that experience. Things, situations look a lot different when we pray. And I hope you have this experience. You're in a difficulty, or you don't know what to do, or things get complicated. You take a moment, just a short moment, step back and say, oh Lord, what do you want me to do? Lord, what is really happening here? Just a 30 seconds of stepping back from the fray can give enormous perspective, great light. Oh, all that stuff isn't important. Let me take care of widows and orphans. Let me do what God wants me to do here and not try to impress people or try to accomplish. Let me do what God wants. So, that's to be doer of the word. As we open our hearts to this word, let us also allow him to show us what he wants us to do, so that we're not doers of our own will, but doers of God's will.